what we're talking about this morning is the rise and fall of man. Here we are in the middle of Sefer Bereishit, and I want to take a few steps back and try to analyze this morning a little bit. What happens? What Hashem wants from us? That's a good thing to do in an hour on a Sunday morning. What does God really want from us? And what is our purpose? And if you look at how Sefer Bereishit begins, it begins in a very glorified manner. You have the creation story. You have, after everything was created, and I should have put the source down for you, but after everything is created, Hashem kind of kiviyachol takes a step back and sees everything that he created, and the pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem et kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od." He sees everything that he created, and it's very good, tov ma'od. Five and a little bit prakim later, all of a sudden, Hashem says something very different, and what he says is, "Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'at adam ba'aretz v'chol yetzer machshivot libo rak ra kol hayom." That Hashem sees that everything he's created is bad. And ki rabba ra'at, the ra'a, the badness, the evil in the world is terrible, and man is only bad. And my question is, what happens? All of our questions, what happens? Bereishit started off so glorified, and it ends so negatively to the point that Hashem is destroying the entire world that he's just created. So what happens? And what I'd like to do now is try to go through the stories. I mean, we really could take this throughout Sefer Bereishit. Everything we're discussing today, I mean, Sefer Bereishit, any of my students who have been in my Bereishit class know, you can't read Sefer Bereishit without understanding that it's really a pattern for human behavior. We don't have all day, so we can't go through the whole Sefer. So I figured we'll start at the beginning and then kind of take the models of what happened in Sefer Bereishit, in Parsha Bereishit, and kind of try to understand what happened from the beginning to the end, and maybe through understanding the failure of man, we could understand a little better what Hashem really wants from us in order to be successful. So let's begin. I'm actually going to come back to source number one at the end. The Nitziv is the last source, the introduction of the Nitziv. Even though it's an introduction, we're going to kind of pull things together with the Nitziv. So before we begin with the creation of man, because again, in order to understand why man failed and the world had to be destroyed, let's first look at what Hashem had intended. What was Hashem's intention in creating man? What did he want from us in the first place? So before we even look at the actual creation of man, you have to look at how Hashem created man. And if you look at how Hashem created man, even the process through which he created man is a process of learning, of teaching us something. And that's why we're starting with source number two, the Rashi. I guess let's look at the pasuk first that Rashi is referring to, where Hashem gives an introduction to the creation of man, and he says, "Na'aseh adam b'tzalmenu, hidmutenu." Let us make man. So right off the bat, Rashi points out, what do you mean, "Na'aseh adam"? That's all of our questions. Let us make man. And Rashi says, and there's one Rashi here that was brought, and then there's another Rashi. Rashi's basically saying the same thing. Rashi says, "Arasnuso shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamadnu mikan." From here we learn something about Hashem's midos, something about midos, that Hashem is teaching us anava. And Rashi goes on to say, "Lefi shadam b'tmus hamalachim b'yitkan ubo lefikach nimlach b'hem." That Hashem was creating man, and he knew that maybe the malachim would be a little bit jealous. Up until now, it's just been very cozy with Hashem and the malachim. And now he's creating man, and man's going to take over, kind of, and be the most important creation. And he didn't want the malachim to feel bad. And Rashi says it in the next Rashi, which you don't have in front of you, also, Na'aseh Adam, he says it a little more explicitly there. He says, "Afal bi shelo sayahu b'yitzirato." Of course, the malachim, nobody helped Hashem with his creation. But what? The yesh makom leminim lirdot. And Hashem is opening himself up to the possibility of people being skeptical about him. Of course, how many missionaries use this pasuk and say, you see, there's more than one God. God is talking to, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's all do it together. I don't know if that's what they say. But you could imagine that that's what could be said. There's not one God, because God's saying, let us make man. It wasn't just one being creating man. So Rashi is pointing out that even though Hashem is opening himself up to this possible apikorsut, and a proof that you see there's not one God, still Hashem feels it's important. He says, Lo nimna katu milalame derech eretz umidat anava. That Hashem is saying it's more important to teach the midah of anava, of derech eretz, of sensitivity to the other creations. And we're talking about inanimate objects and malachim, well, whatever. There. So, the malachim? Probably on day four with the heavenly objects and planets, but that's not what we're discussing. The fact is they were there before man, according to all the midrashim. And if it's okay, source number two. So we're up to source number two. We're coming back to source number one at the end. So right from the beginning of the creation of man, we see that even the way that Hashem creates man, he's teaching us midos. What we'll see is it all comes down to good midos. I'll give you a little heads up. But he's teaching us midos tovos, how to be sensitive to other people, other inanimate objects even, by the way that he creates man. So obviously there's something there. Now we're up to source number three. The Radak has a similar idea. We have a lot of sources to get through, so I'm going to go a little quickly if it's okay. So Radak in source number three says a similar idea. Na'ase adam, higdim lehodia. I'm going to read my other sheet because it's a little bit of typos here. Na'ase adam. Here we go. Higdim lehodia kiva lugro adam. That man is the only creation, man and woman, is mankind, is the only creation that Hashem gave an introduction for. He does not say, let us make light, let us make the sun and the moon on day four. Man is the only thing, the only creation that he gives an introduction for. And says the Radak, the reason is, and man and woman, with man, he says, you know, let us make man. With woman, he says, it's not good for man to be alone, which we'll get there. Let us make, you know, Ezer Kenegda, which we'll talk about. So, Bizot Gilad Tzidkato Le'enei Kol Yitzurav. And this, too, shows Hashem's Tzidkut. It also shows Midos. Hashem is doing something. He's introducing the creation of man. Why? Bivrato Latet Alehem Moshel Berodevam Leman Kesin Levavam Elav V'lo Yetu Bivolehem Pit'om Rodel Moshel. He doesn't want to surprise them. He's going to create man, and man is going to have dominion over everything in the world. And instead of just plopping it down and saying, suddenly you have a Moshel and Rodeh, you have someone ruling over you, he wants to ease them into it. Again, he's being sensitive. He's teaching sensitivity, even the way in which he creates man. And he continues, and he says, it's like a king who wants to lasim shabal lasim mas alamo omer lahem lachu benasima mas al aretz kihu l'tov lachem. That a king who wants to put a tax, who wants to tax people, it might be for their own good so that you could build roads, etc., but he doesn't want to surprise them and get into office, get voted in, and then, well, king probably isn't voted in, but you know what I mean, get into office, and then the next day, all of a sudden, there's a tax hike. You're hoping that he would tell you that before he gets voted in, to kind of ease you into it, and you know what to expect. So again, I think it's funny, well, I don't think the Radak had this intent, had intended this, but you know, maybe you could take it one step further and say that's why Hashem gave a warning to creations that he was creating man, and that's why he gave a warning to man that he was creating woman. But you could take it or leave it. Anyway, it's that teaching midos. Again, I'm not saying the Radak had this in mind. I don't know his wife. I don't know what the relationship was there. But you could, you know, it's funny to think about. The point is that I think that it's a very profound idea that even the way in which he creates, he's teaching sensitivity. He's teaching midos. So now let's look into the creation of man himself. So now Hashem creates man, and he creates man b'tzel v'lokim. So what does that mean? The image of Hashem. And of course, everyone across the board discusses this, all the great philosophers. What does it mean, the image of Hashem? We know that he doesn't have an image. We know that there's no physical image of Hashem. So what does that mean, the image of Hashem? So if you look at sources 4 and 5 and 6, there we talk about, these four sources talk about what exactly it means, what the whole idea of Tzel and Elokim means. And there's a sefer called Sefer Dat Umada, which talks about Tzel, and this is in source number 4, that Tzel hu hayachas ha-personali sheyachol nimatzei bein ishim. That Tzel is something, not exactly explaining exactly what Tzel is, we'll see that in the next source, but just know that the fact that man was created with Tzel and Elokim in the image of Hashem, that makes man qualitatively different than other creations. And he says, this is something, the selim aspect of man is something that is only found with man. And he continues, says, the personaliot shel adam omedet mul ha-personaliot shel ha-lokim. Meaning that the fact that man was created with selim ha-lokim, man is different than all the other creations because man is godlike. Man is most like God of everything that he created. That man is the only creation that is like God. And the reason I brought you this is because I think this is such a profound idea in Judaism in general. He says, "Halo yesh isha datit haro'eh et ha'ideal ha'dati b'mechikat ha'ishiyut." That there is a religious, and whenever the philosophers, by the way, talk about isha ha'datit, it doesn't mean religious, Jewish religious. It means that there's a religious approach out there in other religions that human beings are in order for human beings to connect with God, they have to get rid of their humanness. That the humanness, and this is the next line, he says, "Ishuto shel adam b'gisha hadatzit hazot k'mechitza beino uben hadvarim." That your humanness, according to these approaches, your humanness really acts as a separation between you and God. And that's why, according to some religions, Christianity for one, in order to get close to God, you have to get rid of anything that makes you human. Any physical thing that makes you human, and that's why you're not supposed to get married, and you move into a nunnery or a monastery, you're not supposed to eat so much, you have to dress in a certain way. Anything that is physical that makes you a human being, you have to get rid of in order to connect with God. And in Judaism, it's the opposite, he says. Aval hadat ha-musarit einam kein. But we don't believe that. Rak kol ot ha-adam hu ishiyut hu omed b'yachaso shel ha-lokim. And he says that with man, the fact that we're human beings, yes, and we have a growth, we have a body, we have a neshama, we have a physical, we have a spiritual, but it doesn't come in the way of our connection with God. If anything, that's what makes us godlike, that we take our physical and our spiritual to be obeyed Hashem, to worship Hashem. And that's what our ideal is. And that's why our humanness, in fact, makes us closer to God. And that's why I'm not going to go into this now. This is a different year. But that's why we have so many things that we do physically that we can elevate into a spiritual realm. We're not told you can't drink wine. You can't eat a lot of good food. We know we eat a lot of good food. We drink wine. But what do? We take the wine and we're mekadesh and we make kiddush with it. So we're mekadesh something that's physical. And that's what our job as human beings is to do. To be mekadesh the physical. And we can only do that because we have a physical. You know, we're not told, don't get married, don't have physical relationships with husbands, with spouses. But we're told, have kiddushin, get married and make it holy. Have a holy relationship, that means the physical and the spiritual, in a holy way. And that's what makes us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, moving on to source number 5, Rav Chaim Volozhin wrote a tremendous sefer called Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. And in the Nefesh HaChaim, so again, now we see that, you know, definitely Selim HaAdam makes us qualitatively different than other creations. It makes us close to God. Rav Chaim Volozhin discusses a little bit about what that Selim means. I didn't bring, for every source I'm bringing, there's a lot of other sources out there. So, you know, the general approach is, what is Selim HaLokim? Well, we have the ability to think, to analyze, to have Bechira, to have free choice. So you should know that's the general approach. Rav Chaim Volozhin in Sefer Nefesh HaChaim has a beautiful idea here. And what he says is the following. This is the very beginning. If you're looking for a good sefer to learn, I really recommend this beautiful sefer. So this is how he opens the sefer. He starts out, he says, and again, try to follow me. I gave you, you know, all the sources were jumping a little bit, because I have a lot to cover. So we know that, you know, and Hashem repeats it, that a man was created in God's image. What does that mean? That's his question. It's a very deep idea. There's a lot of depth to this concept of tzelem. Very deep ideas, a lot of lofty, deep and lofty at the same time. Ideas about what tzelem elokim means. And he says, it can't be literal, of course, because God doesn't have an image. So he says, Ella perusho dimyon ma be'ez davar. So it has to be not that we're created in the image of Hashem physically, because that's impossible. It can't be a literal physical thing. It has to be that we're created in the image of Hashem, which means there's a similarity between us and God. So what's that similarity? Obviously, there's a dimyon. There's something we're domed to something like God. We're similar. And again, I'm sorry that I'm skipping. He gives an example of, you know, something compared to a bird. It compares us to a bird. What does that mean? We don't have a beak. We don't have wings. It's not physical. But there's a certain trait that bird has that he's comparing us to. That's what he's bringing over here. And then if you look at the starting where it says Perek Gimel in the Nefesh HaChaim, he says, V'chein b'dimyon zed k'v'yachol, barahu yitbarach et ha'adam, v'yishlitu al revei revon kochot v'olamot, ein mispar, that when Hashem created man, man basically controls many, many levels of the spiritual world and the physical world. Umasram biyado, and he puts it in man's hand. Sheyehu hamedaber umanhigotam al pi kol pratei tenuot ma'asav v'tiburav umachshavotav, and man has control over these realms, these physical realms. He has control. He can affect the world through his tenuot ma'asav, his actions, his speech, his thoughts, the chol sidrei hanagutav, hein latov, and all his behavior, hein latov, or lehetha chas v'shalom. So he can affect the world positively through his actions, or negatively, chas v'shalom, he says. Ki b'masav u'dibrav u'machshvotav atovim, hu mekayem v'notein koach v'kama kochot v'olamot elyonim akdoshim, u'mosif bahem kidusha v'or. And that's basically the gist of it. He says, basically, man's responsibility and power is awesome. There's no other creation who has that power like God has. God has the power to create and to destroy both the physical and the spiritual worlds. And God gave man that ability. We can affect the spiritual realm of the world on many different levels. We can affect the physical world. And that is a power that nobody else has, no other creation has, and that is what makes us Tzelem Elokim. And he continues in the last part, look at the last paragraph, Zehu, Vayivra Elokim et Adam et Tzelmo, Shekmo Shehu Yitrach, Shemo Hu HaLokim, Baal HaKochot HaNutzaim B'chol HaOlamot Kulo, just like God, who is the Elokim, who is the head, who has control over everything in the world, U'mesadram U'manhigam Kol Rega Kirtzono, and every moment it's up to him to be in control of things, Hishlit Ritzono Yitrach et Adam. God gave that same power to man, Sheyehu HaKoteach V'Astoger Shokama Altei Revaot Kochot Olamot, that he has the ability to open and close different spiritual levels, realms in the world. Al pi kol pratei sidrei hanagutav, b'chol inyanav, b'chol eit v'rega, mamash kefi sharsho ha'alyon shel ma'asav, ki'iluhu gam kein, here's the last line, ki'ilu is cut off, ki'iluhu gam kein ha'ba'al koach shelahem kibyachol. As if he's the creator, we have the ability to create and destroy like God does. That's an awesome responsibility. And that was the mission of man. That's why God created us, with this Tzelem Elokim. And the last source about Tzelem Elokim here is in from Pirkei Avot, in source number 6, Hu Haya Omer, one step further with Tzelem Elokim, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, that God, man is endeared to God, God loves man, and that's why he created him B'Tzelem, Chiva Yetera No Da'at Lo Shenivra B'Tzelem. This is a very profound idea. An extra added love he has for him because he knows that he was created B'Tzelem. So not only is he creating him with this image of Hashem, with these abilities, these awesome responsibilities and an awesome mission, but he created him with the ability to recognize that, acknowledge that, understand it, and know it. It's very nice for an apple tree that the apple tree was created by God, but if you don't understand that, and you don't know that, and you don't have the ability to understand and appreciate what that means, who really cares? I shouldn't say that. That doesn't mean nothing. It's worth something, but it's not worth as much as it is if you can appreciate what that means. It's like Hashem's brachos. Hashem can give us brachos, but are they really brachos? Philosophical question. We don't appreciate that they're brachos. Think about that. Anyway, we're not going there. But the point is that this is what the point of Tzelem Elokim is. So just to sum up so far, take one step at a time here. So we see that Hashem created man in a way to teach over something, to teach over a certain sensitivity, certain midos. We see that Hashem gave us the ability, he gave us the power to be able to accomplish that mission in the world, to create and not destroy with it, and to show sensitivity to people and to be like God in the Tzelem Elokim aspect that he created us. Hashem tells us he creates us la'ovda u'lishamra, to take care of the world. So we have a responsibility to the world, we have a responsibility to man, we have a responsibility to God. Now, okay, we're all set, right? Right. We're supposed to go do our mission now. Now we can do our mission and what God wants from us. Before we can do our mission, however, now we're going to the next part. we need something else. Man needed a helper. And this is where the ezo connecto aspect comes into things. And Hashem understands this is an awesome mission. To be like God in all these ways is hard. Right? We're human beings. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you a helper to help you on with this mission. And if you notice something, before we move on to the next couple sources, when Hashem creates everything in creation, Hashem says, after everything he creates, he says, Vayar lekim ki tov, right? He created the light, Vayar lekim ki tov. He sees it's good. You know, he doesn't say it on day two because he probably didn't finish day two's creation until day three, and that's why he said it twice on day three, hence the extra bracha of having weddings on Tuesday. We're not going there either. But the point is that everything he creates, he gives the stamp of approval, the toe of approval. I'm making an objective statement that what I've now just created is good, except man. He never says after man is created, Vayar lekim ki tov. He says after everything, which I started out with, Hashem sees everything he created was very good, but he never says about man himself that it was good. And the Rambam has a famous discussion about this as part of his Hilchos Teshuva. And he says, well, Hashem didn't make an objective statement about man because we have free choice. We can either be good or not. Okay, again, you can get into philosophical discussions about Hashem created us, you know, pure, and we mess it up. Okay, fine. But the point is, Hashem is not making an objective statement of goodness about man, because we might choose not to be tov. And it's clear, if you look at what Rashi says, I'm not going to go there, but if you look at what Rashi says in, you know, why it's not good for man to be alone, he doesn't, well, actually, I'm not going to go there. Forget that. It's interesting. But Rashi seems to agree with, you know, if you look, do analysis of the Rashi there, with this approach of the Rambam. So what I find fascinating is that while Hashem never says Vayar lekim ki tov by man, by the creation of man, so there's no objective statement of goodness when it comes to the creation of man, there is an objective statement that Hashem makes about man that has to do with tov, but it's in the opposite, it's in the negative. And when Hashem says to man, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the first time Hashem gives man a mitzvah, a tzivoy, a command, and he says, make sure you don't eat from that tree. And of course, what does man do? He eats from the tree. But we'll get there. That's the next topic. So he says, the next part of the sheets here, sources. So Hashem says to man, you can't eat from, you know, putting you in Gan Eden, you can eat everything, achol tochel, eat whatever you want, but you can't eat from this tree. The very next pasuk, Hashem says, you know what? Lo tov ke'yor adam levado. It's not good for man to be alone. Eselo ezer kenegdo. I'm going to make an ezer kenegdo for him, a helper, and we'll talk about what that means. So it's not a coincidence that as soon as God starts him on the mission, okay, let's see if you can do what I'm telling you, let's see if you can get your relationship going with me, but I'll tell you something. I couldn't say before that man is good. I couldn't say that Vayaro can keep tov about man, because you might choose not to be, but I will tell you an objective statement of goodness, which is that it's not good, i.e. ideal, for man to be alone. So if you really want to accomplish this awesome mission that I set out for you, you need a partner in this. You don't even try to do it alone. You can try, but it's not ideal. Obviously, people do, and whatever, it's a different issue. But ideally, it's not good for man to be alone. And that's why I said, I don't think it's a coincidence. It comes right after that first command that he gives him. I'm giving you a helper. Whatever it is, you have certain kolchos, you have certain things that you're good at, some things that you might need help with. I'm giving you everything for you to do this mission that you need. And that's what Hashem says. So, sources... Sources 6 and 7, I think we're going to, I mean 7 and 8, we're just going to, we'll come back to me, I don't think we're going to come back to, we're just going to skip over. I'm just going to paraphrase it, but I just want to get to the, continue on. The Gemaras, basically I'm bringing you the Gemaras and Yevamos that talk about why it's not good for a man to be alone. The Gemara talks about, basically, just to paraphrase those sources, and you can look up the Gemara and Yevamos there, but the first one talks about an emotional reason, and the second part, even though it's the same Gemara, it's one daf later, but the beginning talks about how emotionally it's not good for man to be alone, emotionally, psychologically, he won't be happy, etc. And second, like he needs, you know, emotional partnership, psychological partnership, and from a psychological perspective, and the second part is more practical, he needs practical help. So the Gemara has a discussion that it's all those levels of help, you know, the emotional, psychological, practical reasons that it's not good for man to be alone. Sure. Yeah, can we just, let me just take a look at that because I'm getting there. Oh, he wasn't. No, that's a good question. I'll take questions at the end in general because we are going to get into the sin, but it's not that he did anything wrong. It's not that he did anything wrong. Hashem is jumping the gun. Hashem is saying, I'm giving you a command, but before I even try to set you out there and try for you to do this mission that I want you to do, I'm giving you everything you need, all the tools you need. In other words, I'm being preemptive here. I'm telling you that before I want you, I know that you need a partner to help you with this. I created you. I know you're, you know, who you are. And I know that you need this partner. So it's not that he didn't do anything wrong at this point. In fact, I'm not going to skip there, but in source number 12, we'll see what the Shaddal says about that. But anyway, so just moving along. So that 7 and 8 kind of paraphrase what the Gemara says in terms of man not being alone. And there's a very nice sefer by Kasuto, a Bible professor from Hebrew University, who wrote a book called Sefer Me'adam Ad Noach, and then the second one is Me'noach Ad Avraham. So the 10 generations and the second 10 generations. So he writes, so he points out something here. And the truth is, this is not a big tradition. I just took out the two lines. Rav Salvation Chazal talks about this in his Lord Man of Faith, the two creations, the two stories of creation of man. That you have the creation of woman, Zachar Nekeva, in the first chapter, in the first parak of Reishit, man and woman were created. And then the second chapter, you have the whole recreation story. You have how Adam went to sleep, you have the details of the story. And that's basically what most of the parshim say. The first one is the general, this was created, and the second one is the details. But as we know from the Rav and from other sources, philosophical sources as well, there's a deeper reason also why there are two parts of the creation story. And the reason is, and here I brought it succinctly in source number 9, the parshal kodemet, in the first part, in the first parak, that was in the context of the physical creations of the world. So there, when we're talking about things that were created physically, and the reason that you need things in the world is because you need the world to continue. So you need trees, you need a sun, you need a moon, you need animals, you need male and female animals, and you know, you need male and female people. You need male and female people for the same reason you need male and female elephants, because you need to reproduce and to populate the world. So that's where Madvisha Katubata Tzad Hamini should be Yachas HaYishli Show. And that's why there, it's really just the physical, sexual, you need males, you need females, the same way you need other things in the world to continue to make the world, to populate the world. But, the Parsha Zu, but then comes along Parabet, HaShayechat Olam HaMusari, Madvisha Katub B'Yichud Et HaTzad HaMusari Shebe Yachaseh, Ezer Kenedu. And then comes along Parabet, and Parabet now introduces, okay, man was created in the context of everything else being created, male and female, in the context of male and female animals, etc., and plants and whatever, in the same way that an apple tree can produce more apple trees, a person can produce more people. But now we have to give it, we have to spend another whole parak talking about how there's another whole aspect of this relationship that you don't have when it comes to male and female elephants. Maybe elephants are a little more connected to their, right, whatever. So you have to watch those nature shows. But no, the point is, obviously, the connection is much different. And that's where the Ezer Kenegdo aspect of the relationship comes in. And now he introduces, so on one hand, we're saying, on the negative side, it's not good for man to be alone. Again, you did nothing wrong, but I'm telling you that it's not ideal. If you want to do this mission in the best possible way, it's not good for you to try to do this alone. And now, so what am I giving you? I'm giving you an Ezer Kenegdo. So I'm giving you a helper Kenegdo. And of course, this question, what does that mean? Kenegdo seems to mean against. What does it mean? An Ezer, that's a helper, that's against you. And most of us know the Rashi, called the famous, what makes up the famous Rashi, a Rashi that a lot of us remember having learned. So Rashi tries to understand this, it seems like a contradiction. Well, if it's a good, if it's a good relationship, if you're Zocha, if you know how to have this, how to use this partnership, how to have a relationship, so then it's an Ezer, then it's a helper, and if not, it's Kenegdo. If not, then you're against each other, then you're gonna fight, Lehilachem, says Rashi. Then it becomes negative. So that's how Rashi understands it. If you look at source number 10, which is the Maharal, the Gur Arye is trying to explain Rashi, and in explaining Rashi, he basically explains it a little bit differently, and he says something very important here. And says, what is the Ezer Kenegdo? He says, Eselo Ezer, Shehu Ezer Kenegdo. Hizeha Ezer, Eino Ezer, Ko Ha'av Lebein, Obein La'av, De Le'olam Lo Yitznagdu Zeh Ezer. He says, Kenegdo doesn't have to mean against. He says, this Kenegdo, when you use the word Kenegdo, when you're standing Kenegdo somebody, Kenegdo means you're face to face with them. You're nose to nose, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, head to head. You're parallel. You're face to face. He says, most relationships are not like this. He says, it's not like a parent-child relationship that you can't argue. You're not connected, and because you're not parallel, you can't argue. I mean, of course you can, and we no longer do, but we're not supposed to. In other words, a relationship between a parent and a child is not equal. the parent is on a higher level than the child. You might not like something that the parent is saying. You might try to be connected, but it's really not the way it is. The parent is not your equal. And I think we can see that as, I think most relationships we have are not equal, whether you work for someone or someone's your boss or a parent or a teacher. And even friendships often are not, you know, totally equal. The ideal relationship is when it's a real peer, when it's a real connected, as the Maharal is explaining, relationship. And that's why connected means parallel to, but that also means that the fights are worse. In other words, connected can also, the more parallel it is, the more of a struggle it can be. And that's why he says, and these are the key words here, he says, Aval Ezer Zeyia, Ezer Kenegdo. This relationship, this partnership is an Ezer Kenegdo, is a Kenegdo, an equal partnership. Ki ha'isha shehi chashuva ushkulach mo ha'ish umisayeya l'ish, etc. She says, because this woman is chashuva and shkula, she's as important and is equal to man, and that's why she can help him. It's an equal relationship, and that's why this is so important. And then he continues towards the end, and he says, and that's why, you know, the best partnership could be in a marriage, and the worst partnership could be in a marriage. Because they're so equal, he gives an example. He says, it's like two hafachim, mitachim bekoach achad. He said, if it's a good relationship, kind of like magnets, you know? If it's a good relationship and you're equal, so then you'll attract, and it'll be very hard to separate you. If it's not, then you'll repel, and you won't be able to be pulled together because it's so equal. So that's how the Maharal understands this Ezer Kenegdo. So Hashem clearly gave man this mission, again, with a partner, with an Ezer Kenegdo model. It has to be an equal relationship with someone who could really help you work together. The key word here is partnership. If you look at source number 11, we kind of do this in source number 9, but Akedah Yitzchak says this also. He said it was the Chochmat Hashem. He says, "Lazera atzach chachmato yitvarach, shelo yezibuk ha'adam v'yishto al hayachas ha'mini, ha'hu levad kusha'ar ha'behemos v'chayos," that the relationship, like we said before, the relationship between male and female people should not be like animals. There's a more qualitative value in that relationship, a partnership in that relationship that you don't have with animals. "Aval she'yeh lahem yachas ishti," a personal relationship, biyuchad, very special. "Hu yechazei ahavatam v'chavartam le'azer zeh mizeh v'chol inyanim." As what was meant for them. That it's, we're talking about a relationship. And yes, the physical aspect is part of that, but only when you have the emotional, psychological, and spiritual part of it also. And, you know, when you're living in a world like today where, I'm not going to go there, but it's not necessarily, you know, it ends up when you have certain relationships that are physical without that emotional connection or partnership idea, then it's just like animals. Then it's like the Behemot v'Chayot. What's the difference? What's the difference in the male-female model of a relationship if you don't have the Ezer Kenegdo aspect of it also? So then there's no difference between a male and female monkey or elephant or anything else for that matter. So now we see that the mission, the partnership. I'm glad that I threw in source number 12 now, because you asked that question about what man did wrong. And it wasn't even that man did anything wrong, but again, it was the preemptive. Shabbal says something so nice in source number 12, and I kind of threw this in because it's a nice idea. Lo tov heyot adam levado. He says, "Ein hakavana lomar shakel nimlach mimachshavato." You know, what is this, an afterthought? We were an afterthought? He creates the world, he creates man, and then he kind of steps back and says, didn't work. It's not good for man to be alone. Let me kick in woman. You know, what does that mean? That Hashem changed his mind? That wasn't part of his original plan? So he says, no, he says, "Ela hamachaveinu leha'ir otanu al yikrat hazibur." But the point was, Hashem did on purpose, of course. He wanted us to appreciate, wanted man to appreciate how precious this relationship is to him. Lehodia ki lo tov heyot adam levado. He wanted man to know that it wasn't good for him to be alone. That ulfikach ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu, God wanted sheyeh haadam sharur sha'ah achat belo isha. He wanted man to exist even for 1 hour, 1 moment, or let's say, without woman. V'achar kach hizmina lo, and after that he'll invite her, he'll introduce her into the world. Kedei shetiyeh chaviva alav achar shehergish ki bezulatah hayach haser. That he wanted man to appreciate woman. He wanted man to be in existence for a moment without her. Right? We don't want any non-committal guys here. right? We want you to know that you want a relationship with all women. I can say certain things. We want men, you know, men might not realize he needs a partner in life. He might think he could be a bachelor and do it all himself. But he wanted man to exist and see what it was like to be lonely, to see what it was like. That's why he brought Adam to all the animals and said, name the animals. Get to know the animals and you'll see there's no one here who could be your partner. And that's why, hang on, I'll just take questions after because I want to move on and get to the point. So that's why he created man first and then invited woman. Okay, so that's the first part, and we can do this, we can do it, we can get to the rest. That's the first part. So now we have everything in motion, right? We have everything ready. We have the Tzelem Elohim, we have the way that Hashem created man, the teaching of Midos. We have the Tzelem Elohim that he created man with. We have the partnership that Hashem is giving him to help him do the mission that he's supposed to do. And we messed up. What happened? So that's the next source. So source number 13. So now for the next, 20 minutes, we're going to go through what happened and how it went wrong. There are four different sins, I believe, that are highlighted in Parshat Bereishit. And let's look at those a little bit. Obviously, we can't go, each one could be a shiur in itself. But let's look at them a little bit and try to understand everything that we've been talking about, why it didn't work that way. What happened? What went wrong? So the first one, and again, I'm going to go through these stories fast. Certainly the first two, I think most of you know. Everyone is familiar with. So the first one is clearly, Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz HaDaas, the one thing that Hashem told them they weren't supposed to do. And they did. So I didn't bring you the Barbanel because I felt bad. I didn't want you to have to type the whole Barbanel. It wasn't in the Bar-Ilan. I don't know why. But the Barbanel basically talks about, kind of summarizes the sin before we even move on to the reaction of the sin. What did Adam and Chava do wrong? So yes, Adam, Chava ate first and then she gave it to Adam, which is how Adam tries to get out of it and says, well, it was my fault. And bottom line is, you have Bechira. It's part of the Tzelem Elohim deal. It's your choice. Someone might try to get you to sin, but it's still your choice to either do it or listen or not listen. So the point was that when Hashem gave, and just to go through what the Barbanel says quickly, that, again, man was created, the Tzelem Elohim, to reach the spiritual perfection, right? And what he did when he ate this tree, so Hashem puts him in the garden, he puts him in Gan Eden, and he gives him all the trees you could eat from. He gives him everything he could possibly need to fulfill his physical needs. And he's not saying to him, you don't have any physical needs, you're not allowed to partake of the yummy fruit. No, eat, it's a good thing. Filling your physical is a good thing. I created you that way. But don't do it at the expense of the physical, of the spiritual. Do it, partake, but make sure that you also have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want you to have all your physical needs taken care of so that you can now focus on your spiritual needs. And you can focus on connecting to Hashem. And what did Adam and Chava do? By eating from that tree, and again, Hashem said, you can't eat from this tree. And most of the questions said there wasn't anything inherent about this tree that was like, big place card that said, Eitz HaDaat Tovara. No, it was Hashem wanted to know the boundaries. This is part of our spiritual development. I tell you, there's an authority figure above you. You can have everything you want, but this represents my relationship with you. You're doing it because I told you to. Whether there's a reason, whether there's not a reason, doing it because I told you to. So when Adam and Chava ate from that tree, what was so bad was that they were choosing the physical taiva, and it even says in the pasuk that kirataha et kitavat et leinayim, hapri leinayim, whatever the pasuk says in Perek Gimel, pasuk vav, that Chava saw the tree was good, she had a taiva for it, she had a desire for it, she took her physical desire, and when she ate from that tree, she fulfilled her physical desire and threw her spiritual needs out the window at the expense of the spiritual relationship with God. And that's what Adam and Chava did. And I think often, again, I'll just throw this in here, that it's also a pattern of human behavior. How often do we choose the physical over the spiritual? And often at the expense of the spiritual, by choosing the physical and making the physical into what the most important thing is, and at the expense of the spiritual. And we do that. As human beings, we do that. And I think it's not a coincidence that this was the original sin. This was it. And anyway, so what happened? So let's jump to the aftermath. So even after they messed up, and even after Adam and Chava did not fulfill that mission of Tzelem Elohim, of choosing the right thing, of choosing the spiritual and reaching their spiritual perfection because they chose the physical fruit that they couldn't help, taking, or they wanted so badly, Hashem is still giving them a way to live up to the Tzelem Elohim. He's still giving them a way to fess up, to do tshuva. Tshuva is a process that only human beings can have. Only human beings with a bechira can say, I messed up, I did something wrong. Evaluate our actions. That's part of what makes us the Tzelem Elohim also, to think about, to evaluate, to think how we could do better. So, and that's in source number 13, where we have the Adam's reaction. What happens? Adam is hiding from Hashem, and look, Hashem is leading him into, Hashem is asking him leading questions. And Pasuk said, Vayikra Hashem Elohim el Adam, Vayomer lo Ayeka. We all know this Pasuk. Hashem called out to Adam, where are you? They're not playing hide and seek. He knows where he is. So Rashi, of course, asks, you know, Rashi says over there, Yodea Hayaheichanhu. You don't have the Rashi there. I'm sorry, it was left out by mistake. Yodea Hayaheichanhu. Rashi says, he knew where he was, but Ratzeli Kanesi Mobitvarim. But Hashem wanted to open dialogue. He didn't want to punish him suddenly. And if he starts yelling and accusing him and saying, Adam, how could you do this? What's the human, the natural human reaction to being accused? We get defensive. Not my fault. We get defensive. So Hashem wants to enter him in conversation. Don't attack me. I'm one of, you know. And look at the next verse. Adam responds. He said, well, I heard it called Chashamati Bagan Ve'erakei Romanochi. And I'm not going to go into that. But the whole idea of noticing that you're naked and covering yourself, it's also the recognizing the physical realm about you and losing that spiritual thing. But anyway, we're not going there. So then Hashem says, who told you were naked? Could talk about a leading question. Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from? And of course, Adam's response is, well, it's not my fault. So first of all, Adam's saying it's not my fault. She gave it to me, and it also you gave me her. So Hashem, and Rashi says he was kofer v'tova. He's taking the gift that Hashem gave him of this partner, of this Ezer Kenego. It's not Hashem's fault that it didn't work. And Adam is saying, look what you gave me this woman, and she messed me up, and you messed me up, and that's what happened. And then of course Hashem turns to Chava and says, well, what do you have to say for yourself? And she's like, it's not my fault. The Nachash gave it to me. You know, there's no taking accountability. There's no responsibility here. And it's sad. And I think, again, that's sin. And we got to move on here because we got to get to the other three. But I think it's very sad that even here, after they messed up, Hashem is still giving them the opportunity to kind of live up to that Tzel HaLokim, and they don't take advantage of it. So what happened in the first story? The Tzel HaLokim failed. The mission failed. And the Ezer Kenegdo failed too. Chava didn't. She wasn't the Ezer Kenegdo she should have done. She should have been. And she wasn't the helper that she should have been. And Adam didn't, for whatever way, the partnership didn't work the way it was supposed to work. So the whole thing failed. The whole model failed. Look at the story of Cain, and that's source number 14. Also, you know the story, Cain brings the carbon to Hashem, as does Hevel. Hashem accepts Hevel's and not Cain's. Immediate reaction, Cain gets very upset. Vayichar l'Cain me'od vayiplu panav. In source, in number, in hey, pasuk hey. He gets, and of course, all the Mepharshim say he got angry and he was depressed. I think I spoke about this once in the previous Midrashim Rishon, but we're not going to go into that exactly. But again, your reaction, something happens, you do something. Even if it's your fault, you look, you know, it's much easier to externalize and be angry. Who's he angry at? He's angry at Hevel. He's angry at Hashem, he's angry at Hevel. He's angry at Hevel that his carbon was accepted. So if you look at what the Mepharshim understand there, you know, Hashem responds to him, he said, Lama chara lacha v'lama nachlu panecha. Why are you angry and why are you upset? And the Sfarno explains beautifully, you have no reason to be angry at Hevel. Don't externalize. Look inside. You wanted to do a nice thing. You didn't do it in a nice way. Figure out how you could do it. L'tikun habad. Don't be depressed. Don't wallow in self-pity. And don't be angry at your brother. Pick yourself up and do something. And do something. Learn from it and grow from it. And that's what makes you Tzelem Elokim. That's what makes you man. Then you can evaluate your actions and you can take it and you can move from it and you can grow from it. And that's why the tragedy of the story is that right after Hashem tells him that, Cain gets up and kills Hevel. And he kills Hevel, and right after, and then again, so he messed up. He didn't take advantage of that ability that he has to evaluate, to try to be the spiritual person he's supposed to be. So too, so Hashem again says in the same thing he says to Adam, right? Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Hashem al Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha. Rashi says the same thing. What, he didn't know where Hevel was? He knows Cain killed Hevel. And again, Rashi says, Likanesi no b'divrei nachas. I think it's interesting, Rashi adds the word nachas. You know, maybe Cain needed a little more than Adam. Cain's like one step worse than Adam because he's not even hiding. At least Adam was hiding. He knew he did something wrong. Cain's not even taking that responsibility. And he says, you know, and he wants Cain to fess up. And again, what would the punishment, would he have had punishment if he had fessed up? Probably, but probably would have been lessened, maybe, I don't know. But just live up to what you're supposed to take personal accountability, responsibility. And of course, Cain's response is probably the most chutzpahdik response to Hashem in the entire Torah. You know, I don't know where he is. Hashem erachi anochi, am I my brother's keeper? And I brought you the Medrash Tanchuma because in source number 15 just explains it so nicely. Kevan shemar lo kadosh baruch hu ehev al achicha amar le lo yadati Hashem erachi anochi. His response is, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper? And what he says is, what does the Medrash say? Atahu shomer kol habriot v'anim v'akshom yadi. You're the one who created everything. And why are you blaming me? And he gives a mashal. The Medrash gives a mashal. The mashal of Mahadavar Domeh. Leganav sheganav kelim balayla v'lo nitzpas. Like a thief who broke into someone's house at night and he wasn't caught until the next morning. Levokeh titzo hashoar. The gatekeeper caught him in the morning. Amar le lama ganav tata kelim. The gatekeeper says to him, what are you think you're doing? Why'd you steal from this house last night? Amar le ani ganav. Lo hei nafti amonotai. Aval ata amonotecha v'shar lishwar. Lama hei nafti amonotecha. He says, I'm a thief. I did my job. You're the gatekeeper. You should have done your job. Don't blame me. Don't look at me. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. And that's what he says. It's so chutzpah, but he's blaming Hashem. He's saying to Hashem, "V'achshav ata omer li kach." He says, "V'af kai kach amar ani harati oto barata bi yetzahara." You created me with a yetzahara. You created me with bad midos. You created me with the defensiveness, with the ability to get upset. It's your problem. You should have watched over him more than me. But again, it's the lack of personal responsibility. It's the lack of that tzelulukim. No, Hashem created you, yes, with the good stuff and the bad stuff, with the yetzahar and yetzatov. But part of the way to grow spiritually and reach your spiritual mission is to take advantage of that tzelulukim, to be able to make a good choice. And even if you make a good choice, and even if you make a bad choice, then make a good choice afterwards. Then grow from it. Then evaluate. Then look inward and not externalize. So again, second sin of Breishit, second failure. We have 10 more minutes, 2 more sins. We could do it. Okay? So that's the Kayin model. Fine. Same idea. Oh no, because we have to go back to the next sin. Okay, got to do this quickly. So now we have, interesting, the third sin, which I really think it is the third sin of Breishit. Not everybody sees it the way I'm about to tell it to you. I just want to tell you there's a lot of other ways to approach this very complicated part of Breishit. But if you see, as the story goes, you know, you have the rest of the Toledot Ha'aretz, basically. In the rest of Perek Dalet, you have, and this one gave birth to that one, if you look at the source. And it's going through the generations. This one gave birth to that one, this one gave birth to that one, and then all of a sudden, we highlight something about Lemech. And we're told, Vayikacho Lemech Shtei Nashim, Pasuk Yotet, in verse 16, Shtei Nashim, Shem Ha'achad Ada, V'Shem Ha'Shem Yitzila. All of a sudden, we're told that Lemech takes two wives, and we're told their names. One of them is Ada, and one of them is Tzila. Now, this is very strange, because we don't know anybody's wives in this whole story. And all of a sudden, we're being told that Lemech takes two wives, and we're being told their names, which is also so strange, because we not only do we never know people's wives, we don't even know from the Torah who Noach's wife was. We know Naamah was born, but we know that from the Medrash. Like, why are we being told Lemech's wives? Why are we being told their names? And why are we being told a conversation that Lemech has with them? So it's screaming out to be Doresh. You have to analyze this story. And that's why in the book of Chaf Gimel, we're told by Yomer Lemech Lenashav, and it depends how to understand this. I'm going to read it the way the Mavim understands it. Lenashav Ada v'tzila shma'an koli neshe lemech ha'azina imrati. Listen, he says to his wives, he says to Ada and Tzila, either he says, Ada v'tzila, my wives, listen to me, or he says, there's a little bit of an akamina, or he says to his wives who are called, who are Ada and Tzila, he says, listen to me, O wives of Lemech, I killed a man for hurting me and a boy for wounding me. Because Kayin is going to be, I know that Kayin is going to be avenged. If anybody hurts Kayin, Hashem said that he's going to avenge that person for 7 generations. But if anyone hurts me, you'll be avenged for 77 generations. So basically, I don't have time to really go through some of the other approaches. The Malvin says, what's going on here? What is the story? It seems like a threat. It seems like he's not talking so nicely. The Malvin says, and it's unbelievable, you have to look at this throughout Malvin. The Malvin says, Lemech was the first spousal abuser. He is abusing his wives here. And if you look at what the Malvin says, he says, Ata v'tzila, Shma'an koli v'al tamur api. I don't have time to go through the whole thing because I want to finish up. I'm so sorry, but read through the Malvin. And if there's a few typos, if you want to look at the Malvin on this class, it's unbelievable. He says, Lemech is threatening his wives. He's an abuser. He's not treating his wives with the respect that the wives are supposed to be, hence the lack of the Ezer Kenegdo relationship. He says, if you look at what he says, first of all, the fact the Torah tells us, and I really believe this based on what the Malvin says, he doesn't say this explicitly, but the Malvin says he's calling his wives Nishe Lemech. Right off the bat, it's the husband who's in control, who says, you have no personal worth except that you are my wives. So listen to me, O wives of Lamech, and he's threatening them, says the Malvin. You better listen to everything I'm about to say, below Tamru at P, and don't you dare rebel against what I'm about to say, because after all, the man is in charge, and I'm the husband, and Ishan is ne'ed l'ba'la, says the Malvin, according to what the Lamech say. The woman has to listen to what the husband says, and if you don't listen to me, then I'm going to kill you, because I killed someone already, I killed 2 people. And the Malvin says, I killed someone for hurting me, someone hurt me, so I killed him, and while I was killing him, he bruised me, so I killed his son also. So not only is Lemech bragging about murder, which makes him, by the way, a few steps lower than Cain, because Cain murdered, but at least it was, not at least, it was bad, but it was impulsive. This was premeditated, and he's bragging about it. He's not just not taking responsibility, but he's bragging about it and using it to threaten them. And says the Malbim, not only that, but look how he's treating his wives. So what I was going to say, which the Malbim doesn't say explicitly, I really, really believe that the reason the Torah tells us their names twice is to make this point. They have names. They're Ada and Sila, but Lemech is calling them Nishay Lemech. And that's why the Torah goes out of its way to tell us what their names are, because Lemech isn't using those names. So that's part of the whole control thing. That's part, if you are calling your wives the wives of Lemech, you are not recognizing that there's an equal partnership here. You're not recognizing the Ezer Kenego aspect of this relationship. And that's why I think the Torah tells us what their names are, to show us the contrast about what, how he's using that. So that's the Lemech story. Again, mission completely out the window. No spiritual growth here, no Tel Melokim, and certainly no Ezer Kenego model of the relationship. And finally, and I don't think this is a coincidence at all, that these last two sins revolve around women. The very beginning of Parag Vav, people started, men started populating the world. They had a lot of daughters. And the Bnei Elohim, the sons of the Elohim, who are the Elohim? If you see so many times in Vayikra, in Mishpatim, if you brought some, Elohim is another word for Dayanim, because judges do the work of God, so they're considered godlike. If you bring someone, if they do something wrong, you bring them to Elohim. What does that mean? You bring them to me. So right now we're talking about the leadership. We have the sons of the judges that see the Benot Adam. They see these daughters of Adam, ki tovotena, that they're good. By kulahem nashim mikol shebachar, they take for themselves these, the wives, whoever they chose. A lot of people, when you go to school, you skip this story because there's no good way to explain this story. But in this setting, of course, we can do it. Look at the Radak in 19, and this is basically how do you explain the story? Total exploitation of women. Vayiru b'nei Elohim. Ki b'nei ha-shoftim, says the Radak, and I took the Radak that basically says it nicely what everyone else is saying. But there are other ways to explain this also. B'nei ha-shoftim ha-gdolim u'manigeyam, you know, these are the leaders, and they're called Elohim. Elohim el-tukalel, etc. Et b'not hamon, they're taking advantage of the hamon am, you know, the lower echelons of society. B'not hamon ha-adam ha-chalushim, shelo haya lehem koach la'amod kenegdam. They didn't have as much power, they couldn't stand up to them. And what would they do? When they saw that they were good, and what does good mean? They were pretty. Physically, we want that woman. Are we looking for an interconnected partnership? She's pretty, I want her, I'm going to take her because I can. That's what they're doing. And you see that, you know, didn't matter, were they single, were they married, it doesn't matter, I want them, I'm going to take advantage because I can. So not only, and again, we don't have time to go more into it, not only is this even worse, so look at the decline that we started. This is now even worse than Cain, because it's not an individual, it's a group of people, it's exploitation, it's the leadership is so corrupt, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it comes down to the relationship with women. It's that perversion, the corruption of that Ezer Kenegdo relationship, which is so important to the whole mission of the Tzel Melukim mission. And when that Ezer Kenegdo model is discarded, I mean, it's basically rape. You're taking whatever women you want, and that is not what Hashem wanted in the relationship between men and women. That's not what it was supposed to be about. And after that, Hashem says, forget it. Right after this pasuk, Hashem says, I'm destroying the world. It can't continue. But everything that I set up is destroyed. And it can't continue. If this is the way you're going to treat women and each other, forget it. And that's why the next couple sources, just 20 and 21, then we'll come back to the Netziv in the last couple minutes, we can still do this. Kol ha-yisugim v'tarbut ha-chomrit inam shavim klum b'li ha-midot ha-tovot, that's a tet, b'darchei ha-musar, that's a sama. Okay? That all the accomplishments of man, and we talk about Cain's children, and this one made musical instruments, and this one, you know, knew how to make metal and make weapons, and they're building roads and structures and whatever, and all these accomplishments are worthless. Einam shavim klum without good midos. Without midos togos v'darchei hamusar. And the Malbim continues also in 21, hagam shekainu banam yisu'ir v'kibbutz Medini, another type of there. The Tiknu Nimusim Malachot Hanagot Chavra. They were building up society. They were creating societies. They were building it up. Becholzot imlo hatunat yiten kola. The imlo yihiyu haanashim baalei yosher. the Ohavet Tzedek, the Tivam, if people are not yashar and straight in their natures, if they're not being yashar, lo yo'ilu hanimusim, then all of these accomplishments are worthless. They're worthless. And that's why Hashem says, forget it. The world cannot continue like this. I don't care how many roads you built. I don't care how many musical instruments you created. But it's worthless if you're not doing what I intended you to do and what I intended to be in your teva. And that's why Hashem says, forget it after this. And I want to end with a netziv. And do you mind if I take one? We started 2:06. I have time. Okay. I know we're running out of time. Okay, so now, I don't have time, obviously, to go through the rest of the story. But if you go through using this pattern, look at what the next generation did. So the Dor HaMavel didn't work. So then Hashem did the next generation, the Dor of the Migdal Babel. They were doing the same thing. They were putting all their eggs, but in the physical edifice, in the physical structures, and again, choosing the physical immortality over spiritual immortality at the expense of their spiritual. So that generation didn't work either. The first time we see the emergence of this mission being the way it should be with the Ezer Kenegdo relationship is with Avraham and Sarah. It's the Avraham Tzel Elokim with the partnership, the Ezer Kenegdo that he has in Sarah. And I wanted to end with the introduction to the Netziv because it's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful idea here and just has to be learned. The Netziv talks about another name for Sefer Bereishit. And he says that another name for Sefer Bereishit is Sefer HaYashar. And that's I would recommend if you want to really look at the other Netziv's introductions to every other Sefer. They're so great, every single one of them. It gives a whole real theme. It carries the theme across in what every Sefer is about. Anyway, he says Sefer Bereishit is called Sefer HaYashar, the book of Yashar, of the straight. And he continues and he says, why is it called Sefer HaYashar? I don't have time to really go into this whole thing. He says, "Umefaresh Rav Yochanan in the fourth line, Zeh HaSefer Avram B'Yitzchak B'Yakov Shenikru Yisharim, because it's a book about Avram B'Yitzchak B'Yakov who are called Yisharim. So he says, where were they called Yisharim? And he brings this reference, Shenemar Tamut Nafshi Mot Yisharim. He's bringing a reference to Bilam, I'm not going to go into it, but when Bilam tried to curse Bnei Yisrael, and he couldn't, and you know the words didn't come out, he said Matovu. And what happens in the story? At the end of the story, Bilam says, I wish that my end could be, he doesn't do tshuva, but he says, I realize I'm different than those Yesharim. I wish my end could be like the end of those Yesharim. And he's talking about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. What he's saying is, I'm different than them. Why is Bilam using the word Yesharim to refer to the Avos? And not only that, and why are we using this, like, weird reference that Bilam is making to call this whole Sefer Yesharim? Why is he calling them this? What does it mean? And why are we calling the Sefer by this name? Okay, he's explaining a little bit about Bilam, and he's saying, because Yashar is a very important mita. Because we learn in Ha'azinu, ala pasuk, hator tamim palo, tzadik b'yasharhu. And here we go. Deshevach yasharhu. What does Yashrus mean? Sheneemar lahatzig din HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chor ben bayit sheni, shehayadur akesh u'petaltel. It was because of Yashrut that Hashem justified the whole Chorban Bayit Sheni, not only the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, but the whole destruction of Yerushalayim and all the destruction and everything bad that happened, because it was a very crooked generation. Uperashu shehayu tzadikim v'chasidim v'amalei Torah, but there was a lot of Torah there. There were a lot of people learning. There were tzadikim, there were chasidim, there were yeshivas. But what? Achlo hayu yesharim v'alichot olamim. But they weren't yashar when it came to everyday things. Because of sinas chinam that they had, and I think we can all take this home with us, because of sinas chinam they had in their hearts for each other, they would see people that weren't doing things the way they did it, b'yiras Hashem, and they would suspect them that they weren't doing the right things, and they would call them tzidukim and apikorsim, because they weren't doing avodas Hashem the way that they did it. Uba'u al yidei zeh, and what led to that was l'idei shfichut damim, murder. Once you hate someone, then you murder someone. You know, all in the name of God, right? B'derech haflaga u'lechol haraot sheba'olam ad shacharav habayit. And all these bad things happen until the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And this is why Hashem justified doing all these things. And look at this line: Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yasharhu, because God is Yashar. There ain't no sovel tzadikim keelu, and He has no patience for tzadikim, quote unquote, like this. Ela beofen sheholchim b'derech hayashar gam behalichal tolam velo be'akmimot. Rather, tzadikim are people that are go b'derech hayashar also in the ways of the world. Af al gav shehu l'shem shamayim. Even if you think you're hating someone, l'shem shamayim. I don't hate him because I like his house better. I hate him because he's not doing what God wants. It's a religious battle. It's in the name of God. And that's what he says. Af al gav shehu l'shem shamayim. Even if you're not being yashar because it's l'shem shamayim. It's not personal. Because it causes destruction of creations and destruction of the world. Don't worry, just one more line. I don't even have to explain it. Self-explanatory. And this is what was so great about the avos. We know they were from. We know they had a great relationship with God, more than we can ever imagine, closer than we can ever imagine. But what? Od hayu yesharim. But they were yashar. And that is what God was looking for in the creation of man. Look how they dealt with people of the world. Even people who were diametrically opposed to everything they stand for. Even people who were worshipping idols. They still wanted what was best for them. That is the fulfillment of creation of the world. And then he goes on. I don't have time because I'm right with the sultan. Sorry. But that is the creation, he says, and he goes through models, and he says, look at Abraham. You think Abraham liked? You think he had best friends in stone? Of course not. They were diametrically opposed to everything Abraham stood for, but he still recognized a certain yashrus that I want to, maybe if there are 10 tzaddikim, maybe we could save everybody. And he was still yashar, and he goes on, he gives models of Yitzchak and Yaakov acting this way with the people that they dealt with in their lives, and that is kiyum habriyah. So just to take a step back, I think we established what the mission is, the Tzelem Elokim mission, the Ezer Kenegdo partnership that Hashem gave us to fulfill that mission. I think we can understand a little bit what went wrong and how everything was righted through the emergence of Abraham and that Ezer Kenegdo relationship with Sarah.